This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Robin Dow is producing, and we start our week with two Republican political operatives, Daryl Glasper, who is one of 22,000 black Republicans in Louisiana, and Scott Wilfong, the ranking consultant who's been doing his thing now for 25 years. I remember back in 1998, he was in the studio with a guy running for the U.S. Senate named James Donilon.
That's right.
Who took it on the chin to John Breaux.
You know, Jim, 25 years of therapy, I'm almost over that.
Almost over that. And you were boxing with Fox McKisson at the LSU Union back in those days. And Scott is still a pugilistic fellow, as is Daryl Glasper, who's never backed down from a fight. And the Republicans are starting to act like Democrats. They've gotten so mighty in Louisiana, they're fighting with each other. And Scott Wilfong, the Republican Party early on endorsed Jeff Landry, and now with 26 days to go between now and Election Day, he is still the front runner. There are those who believe that might change, but at this point, it has not. Your thoughts about whether Jeff Landry is going to go the distance?
Jeff Landry's going to win. that's for sure. Is it possible he could have a self-inflicted wound? Yeah. I talked to Jeff for a while about a week ago. You know, we just kind of discussed, even I know, you know, Daryl may be back in one of the other candidates who's a good candidate as well, but they all have a ceiling that they just don't seem to be able to get past. And, you know, I told someone the problem with the independent, not to skip ahead, but the Hunter Lundy, if Republicans don't want to vote for Jeff Landry, well, they've got three or four other choices they can make before they have to leave the party. They've got John Schroeder, they've got Wagisback, they've got Sharon Hewitt, they've got Richard Nelson. For Lundy to try to grab any measurable number of Republicans is just going to be, you know, I just don't see it three and a half weeks out.
If they're thinking that way. But on the issues, Hunter Lundy is as conservative on social issues as any of the candidates. But on fiscal issues, he's as liberal as Sean Wilson is. So, Daryl, you called him a hybrid candidate. Why are you backing Hunter Lundy?
Well, because, Jim, we have become a state of parties instead of a state of voters. And I just think that the two leading candidates you have on the right, you have Jeff Landry. On the left, you have Sean Wilson. Well, Jeff has demonstrated that his ability to get involved with a bunch of controversial issues that don't involve Louisiana voters. And I think the one blunder that he has made is the fact that as an African-American, I'm in both your shoes. I'm an African-American and I'm a Republican. There are 22,000 African-American Republicans in this state. And to go after the Urban League and New Orleans, where all the crime is, it is problematic for people like myself and the people that have called me. And then on the other hand, you have a candidate that no one wants us to tell the truth. The man can't win. He cannot.
Who cannot win?
Oh, Sean Wilson can't win. He can't win the race. Look, at the end of the day, if you tell the truth, he can't win. He is a good candidate. The Democratic Party has had a history of having African-American candidates in the top positions running this state. I can name five very quickly. Cleo Fields, who set the ceiling. He set the fire. He set the state on fire. He had national implications. He had national support. You had Bill Jefferson. You had Barack Obama. You had Gary Chambers. Well, I think the African-American community is saying, hey, wait a minute. We've been off that cliff a couple of times. We're looking for somebody else. And most of them, I'm feeling and I'm talking to them, are going with the independent.
All right. Well, Scott's just made the comment that Lundy would have challenges attracting Republican voters, but you're saying he's going after black Democrats?
No, sir. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there is a discontent, and Scott knows this. Look, we're friends, all right? Scott knows that there's a large contingency of the Republican Party who are moderate, who do not like the fact that Jeff Landry is the sole barrier of the Republican ticket for governor. He knows that, okay? And you have candidates like Hewitt. You have candidates like Schroeder. They all are good people, but their numbers, they haven't caught fire.
Wagasback,
Nelson. Wagasback?
No, let's don't group him.
The numbers haven't caught fire. So at the end of the day, you're looking for some other reason. Now, me personally, I can simply tell you that my feeling is this. When you are the attorney general of a state, you have to be fair and objective. When you go after a segment of the population in a negative light and start division among African Americans, and they need help more than anybody else, well, do you feel very comfortable with giving him 4 years and a control in both the House and the Senate? I just don't feel comfortable that he has demonstrated the leadership in order to do that.
Well, in the last couple of cycles with Bobby Jindal and John Bel Edwards, it's 8 years. And I would imagine if Jeff Landry or any Republican were to win, that they wouldn't get any Republican opposition of note in 4 years, no matter what. And the Democratic Party, as we know, is not in strong condition. So this could be 8 years of whoever is elected. Now, Jeff Landry, Scott, he's the front runner, but I will give Daryl this. I would think that in a runoff with another Republican or perhaps with Lundy, he might be vulnerable if that were to happen. But at this point, it doesn't look like a probability, but it is a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. I mean, Lundy in a runoff would be a nightmare. But, you know, in my world, I deal with all these polls and all this data and all this high-level technical stuff. But sometimes just analogies are the best. And my wife's grandparents called me the other night after the debate. They're 80 years old in Shreveport. And they said, who should we be for? We just don't trust Jeff Landry. But we really like that young Richard Nelson. I said, go vote for him. That's fine. I didn't even try to convince him to vote for Jeff Landry. I was like, if you're going to vote for Richard Nelson, and there's a symbol, that's the illustration of why Landry wins. They wouldn't consider Hunter Lundy. They were never going to leave the Republican Party. But I said, go ahead. You like Richard Nelson? Vote for him. It'll be fine. He'll get 4%. Jeff Landry will still win.
But I remember a pollster a few weeks ago, a national pollster, it was laughable, said that Landry was going to win without a runoff. Now, come on. That's not going
to happen. I think if Landry runs first or very close to it, then I think Wilson may drop out. Because where's the money?
No, he's not dropping out. He'll go to the post. He may not do well.
Isn't that what Edwards did?
Well, Edwin Edwards was calculating enough that he was looking 4 years ahead, and it worked. It worked.
It sure did.
But think of this. John Bel Edwards, he got 40 in the primary against Vitter, and he got 56 overall in the runoff against a terribly wounded opponent. In 4 years ago, he got 46 in the primary, and he only increased it to 51.5 in the runoff. So
against another terrible Republican.
Well, I would differ with you on that.
Marginally better than Vitter, but
a lot better than Vitter. And it's funny, if Eddie Rasponi had gotten another 40,000 votes, he would have been a genius. But he lost a close one, and people say he was an idiot. But he does have something in common with Sean Wilson. He'd never won a race. And you know, usually you don't start with a governor's election. And we got some of these people like Wagasback and Sean Wilson who've never won. And they're trying to get the biggest job in the state, Daryl.
Look, let me say, people.
And Lundy's never won a race either, has he?
But listen to me. So we sit here on the radio and you asked me about who's going to win the race. Remember that? And I kept telling you it hadn't closed yet. Jim, I'm a praying man. I'm a Christian man. And what has happened with the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, not only here in Louisiana, but around the nation, there's a lot of division. There's a lot of infighting. Even in the legislature, you had the Republican was fighting the Democrat. Once they controlled what they wanted to get, then the Republicans started to fight the Republicans. I just think that this is not about an independent. This is about a guy with a kind heart. This is a guy who understands the issues. He's talking about issues that affect everybody. He wants to be inclusive. He has the demeanor. And so in the scheme of things of those who are qualified, you have to pick a choice. And the choice is going to be, are we going to allow the state of Louisiana to continue to be divisive, to continue to have infighting? And then on top of that, in my opinion, my editorial opinion, do you feel comfortable, given the legislature is majority Republican, given a guy who has demonstrated that he does not have the demeanor to want to represent everybody. The governor's mansion, line out of veto. I don't feel very comfortable.
Well, Landry, he may not have the support, but he is friends with Cleo Fields, with Tony Clayton. He has a black campaign manager in Corey Dennis. I know he made that statement about the Urban League, and I don't think he should have, and maybe he didn't think about it, or maybe it was a political calculation. But Scott, when you call somebody a racist, and I think Daryl may be implying that about Jeff Landry.
Well, no. I'm just saying, irresponsible in the fact that you are the attorney general, and you look, they have how many sponsors they had? 4 or 5. And then you pick out the Urban League, I don't have to call about a racist.
All right, we'll talk more. We've got one more segment. If you'd like to get in, 877-217-5757, back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Another segment with Republican political stalwarts, Daryl Glasper and Scott Wilfong. They have been in the GOP fold for a long time, but back in the day, Daryl was a Democratic member of the State Central. Actually, he was a Democratic member of the Metro Council here in Baton Rouge. In fact, he's the guy who convinced Sharon Weston Broome to run back in the 80s.
It's your fault?
Yes.
Oh, God.
You're the guy.
It's okay. I got something for you a little later.
And it was Woody Jenkins who brought the mayor to town for a job, right. I believe. So we have Woody and Daryl to thank for what some believe is an exquisite public servant, a person who's been the number two person in both the Louisiana House and the Senate and is now the two-term mayor of Baton Rouge. But we're talking about this year. And Daryl, you put it on the line. There hasn't been a black person in office in 150 years statewide in Louisiana. And Melvin Kip Holden, the former mayor, got 46% against Billy Nungesser. But 46% sends you back home. And so Sean Wilson has a daunting task. Can he do it? I would think there would have to be a scandal, and I mean a huge scandal, for this to happen. And that's probably the reason that Jeff Landry is not going to debates. He doesn't want to make any unforced errors. Scott, is it smart for him to skip all but one debate?
Yeah, I think he made his one, and then he's done. I mean, you know, when you look at when there's one black candidate in the race, even if say Hunter Lundy were successful in pulling 20% of the black voters off, you know, he's at 8 or 9 in his own polls. There's a floor there for any major black candidate. They're not going to drop below the mid to upper 20s. So show me how Hunter Lundy gets from 8% to 20% without pulling half the black voters. I just don't see that happening. So, you know, I think it's –
he's got to pull from both.
He's got to pull from both. And like I said with the analogy, it's there's other Republican options.
Option for African-American voters, but – if Lundy, and you said it, he would be the worst nightmare for Landry. If Lundy is viewed as a winner, people might vote for Lundy, saying, you know, I may not like this guy, but I like him better than I like Jeff Landry, if they're thinking along those lines. But most people go in and vote for the candidate of their choice regardless. How do you change that inertia, Daryl?
Let me say, you know, I'm a unique individual because I like what they call movements. And the movement is not Hunter Lundy is a instrument that is available to the fair-minded people of this state, those that are disenchanted with the right and its politics, those that are disenchanted with the left and its politics, and would like to come down the middle. I'm always a guy who's going to be fair. I think government has intruded in the lives of the voters in ways that they should not have. And I think that it's only getting worse. Mm-hmm. And the only way to stop it is that you join a movement. Hunter Lundy has a servant's heart. If you talk to the man, if you look at the issues that he's talking about, it affects a large sum of people, not just one group. And what I like about him, he's going to be fair-minded, and he's going to work with all 64 parishes. That really impressed me when you have elections where all the parishes are not included because they don't have the star power.
Well, I think though that Landry's not getting credit for his broadness and his, you know, how much he appeals to. If you read Tyler Bridges' article a couple of weeks ago, that really, if you read between the lines of what that was saying, you had people like Gordon McKernan and Lane Grigsby and, you know, Boise Bollinger and Joe Cannizzaro and John Carmouche and all the, you know, the well, these, extreme cross-section
trial lawyers, of course, who are in favor of suing the state for suing the oil companies, rather, because of what they've done to the state on, as far as tearing up the coast. Jeff Landry's with the trial lawyers, but well, it looks
and,
like.
And that's one of Hunter, in Hunter Lundy's commercial, he says, you know, clean it up right now. I love the line. Well, I'll give Hunter credit for that.
But,
that's a George Kennedy
Jeff
spot.
Landry yeah. is actually not a cookie-cutter candidate either, but Lundy takes the case because today, I don't know how many political candidates nationwide I've ever heard say, well, I'm a fiscal conservative and I'm a social liberal. Well, Lundy is a social conservative and a fiscal liberal.
That's right.
But you have to look at it. When you're the leader of a state, and you have to work with everybody in the state, there are issues on both sides, Jim, and those issues affect people and large sums of people. So, I just implore those that are disenchanted that you're in a political party, but the loyalty to the party, you may be in a party, but that party may be taking you in different directions that you're not comfortable with.
Well, so, but Daryl, every time a party grows this much, we're so lopsided. I mean, we've got 2/3 of both houses of the legislature, every statewide elected official, all but one member of Congress. I mean, I'm not defending us, but that is to be expected when a party grows that much in a state and becomes that powerful. Now, you and I know the inner workings
right.
of how the actual state party operates, and that's a different story.
And I want to say this, and I say it unapologetic. And unafraid. When I came to the Republican Party, they didn't have one statewide elected official, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't that long ago, actually. That was when Fox McKithen died in 2005, and Al Ader took his place. Every statewide elective office was held by a Democrat, with the exception of, if you count the U.S. Senate, David Vitter was one of the two U.S. senators. Michael in South Downs. Michael, you're on the air with Scott Wilfong and with Daryl Glasper. Hi, Michael. Good morning, sir. Okay, let's try Jim on I-12. Jim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Jess was absolutely correct. People are very sick and tired of government trying to inject themselves into their lives and what they can do. And I really think that women, 50% of the population in this state, are really, really upset that their health care is being regulated by the government.
All right, and Sean Wilson is the only, quote, pro-choice candidate that is running of note. So does that help him, Daryl Glasper?
Well, let me say this, and I'm going to answer his question. He's exactly right. I just said it. People, I mean, everything that we do that has nothing to do with running a government is under attack by either party, okay? And so,
well, the government is taking that right away.
Well, it's taking your voice away. They're taking your constitutional rights away. So when you start talking about pro-life and pro-choice, I want to say about Hunter Lundy. Hunter Lundy is a Christian guy. I explained
well,
to people.
Well,
hold up. I explained to people.
He's against abortion.
No, listen to me.
Rights.
He said, remember what he says. He's an attorney.
He's
he
against
said the
abortion
legislature got it right.
He said it on this show. He's against abortion. He's against rape and incest exceptions. He's pro-life.
Okay, he's pro-life. He's pro-life because he cares about both. You have two victims. You have a victim in the mother, and you have a victim in the child.
Wait, how is it a victim if it's consensual sex and they get pregnant?
All right, well, if it's unconsensual sex, what about rape and incest exceptions?
I mean, I think there's a lot of Republicans and conservatives that are there. But look, the caller's question was about women's health care and
what
legal
he was,
rights.
That's what he was talking
well,
about.
I mean, I wasn't aware that killing babies are bound
well,
to health care.
That's
not health care.
But Donald Trump, for example, when he was asked how many abortions he'd been responsible for, he said, next question. And here's a guy who put three justices on the court who were, quote, pro-life.
Well, in the words of Chris Rock, though, at the end of every abortion lies a dead baby.
Kevin in North Baton Rouge. Kevin, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, I want to know, why no one don't talk about the voters? Why do these people keep voting for these people? They don't want to have a debate with nobody. They know they're going to get caught up in all kinds of lies and everything. I thought it was just hate, but I didn't know these people could vote against their own best interests. Look how far down we are going just because R is behind the name of...
All right. Well, skipping debates is a time-honored tradition. Dick Nixon never debated anybody after John Kennedy cleaned his clock. And you can bet Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. will not be debating Bobby Kennedy Jr.
He doesn't stay up past 6:30.
Well, he stays up pretty late. He's got an active schedule. He's a slower guy. He's 80 years old, but so is Mitch McConnell. And last time I checked, I think Biden could beat him in a race. Probably could bench press more weight, too. But maybe we ought to make physical fitness a requirement, and that way we would get rid of some of these candidates who are... Some are in great shape at 80, some are not.
And I say make mental fitness a requirement.
I think the former president might have some challenges. Back with Scott and Daryl to wrap it up after this. Do reps at 315, right? This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Two Republicans wrapping it up. Then we'll go to Tyler Bridges, the Pulitzer Prize winner, covering the gubernatorial campaign for the newspaper of record, The Advocate and Picayune. Daryl Glasper in the house with his bodyguard, Coach Melvin Spears. And Scott Wilfong is with us. 877-217-5757. As we wrap it up, 26 shopping days left between now and the October 14th primary. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. Good morning, Phil. I think we got him.
Yes, sir. First of all, we have to understand that Mr. Landry and his administration are not going to do anything about banning military weapons.
All right, Phil, I wish you would ask about another question. That's a legitimate question, but you call in several times a week and ask about guns, and I think we've got all the candidates with the exception of Sean Wilson, who says that he would ban assault weapons if he could. I doubt that he would find a compliant legislature, but he's in favor of gun regulation.
That's a winning message in Louisiana, let's take your guns and kill your babies.
Well, it's Scott, you're framing it in a way that, of course, is repugnant, but I think if you were to put it to a vote on assault weapons, I think the people would vote to get rid of assault weapons.
Not in Louisiana.
I think they would. Assault weapons.
What's an assault weapon?
Well, an assault weapon
You with a .22, is that an assault?
I think we could narrow it to the point where it would be the same as it was in 1994 in the crime bill. And Leonard on airline. Leonard, please be brief. You're on with Daryl and Scott. Hi, Leonard. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Yes.
Jim, they talk about abortion, but anybody that brings a baby into this world is itself as an evil person, in my opinion. But what I want to ask Scott is, What has Jeff Landry did for Louisiana to bring the whole state together?
Is he a uniter? Is Jeff Landry a uniter, Scott?
Well, I think just the fact that I mentioned it earlier, you know, I didn't know Tyler was on the show after, but his article, you know, showing the cross section of political ideology between trial lawyers, between, you know, businessmen, between conservative leaders, social leaders, pro-life people. I mean, we don't know what any governor is going to do until they're elected. So absolutely anyone that says what Jeff will or will not do next year, they don't know. He's not governor yet. But I think if there's any indication, when you look at the support he has on this, I've never seen a governor get elected with this broad across section of support. So I would have a lot of hope for him getting a lot done if he's got this many stakeholders at the table all supporting him.
Trish and Grand Coteau. Trish, good morning. You're on. Good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering if one or the other of you two guys could explain why at the National Republican debate did they make the candidates sign a paper to swear to support the candidate? Seems to me like that's taking away freedom of choice.
All right. Daryl, you're a Republican.
And listen, that's the reason why I'm supporting Hunter London for governor. Because we need to bring the state together. We need to get away from party politics. We need to start talking about issues that affect people. It's not about how much money you have. It's about the problems that you have in the state. And you need to have all of the stakeholders, that mean all of the organizations, certainly you need the trial lawyers, You need the unions. You need teachers. You need the state workers. You need a broad base of individuals to come up with solutions that that affect everybody. And so it is my opinion that I recommend a guy who has the ability to move the state forward in a way where we all work together.
All right. Well, what does Lundy have to get to make a runoff in your judgment? And who does he knock out, Landry or Wilson?
No, see, listen to me. We're trying to make this a African-American thing versus an independent. That's not true. You have a large
contingent. I don't think we're trying to do that. We're just trying to determine who's going to be in the runoff.
Well, I know what Scott said just a second ago, and he's my friend, is that he has to get it from one side. I'm imploring everyone, regardless what party you are involved in, let's become a state of voters.
But what is the number?
The number is going to be 21, 22.
21 or 22?
Yes.
And he knocks out Wilson?
I think he knocks out Wilson, and he gets, and then the real debate starts then.
And okay, that would be a path, but it's a very narrow path. But people often, it's like rooting for sports teams. You know, LSU beats Mississippi State 41-14, and suddenly the Tigers are going to win the national title. I saw a guy who I respect, and he knows a lot about politics, Russell Mosley, the grandson, great-grandson of Huey Long. And he told me Wagsback was going to win a few weeks ago. Scott, can Wags in the home stretch, can he roar down the stretch and like Secretariat and run past Jeff Landry?
Wags was closer to winning before he started campaigning. I've never seen a candidate go down once they bought television. It was like when people saw him, they're like, oh, that guy? Oh, no, thank you. I mean, well, I would put Wags about fifth. I think he'll finish maybe fourth would be a high achievement for Wagasaw.
Well, I think he probably will finish fourth, probably. And Lundy probably will finish third. But Daryl says, look out, Hunter Lundy's coming down the stretch with some mojo.
There has not been one vote cast as of yet, and people in the state have an opportunity to talk about the issues that affect their household, not a party, their household. And so I employ individuals in all segments of this community to start really focusing on this race to see where you think you want the state to go.
Okay. Two seasoned politicos with differing opinions, but they both acknowledge that if it's a runoff between Hunter Lundy and Jeff Landry, then Lundy becomes the favorite. So if that were to happen, but right now it's looking more and more like Landry versus Wilson, and Landry in that race would be the favorite. Tyler Bridges is with us, and Jeff Landry was at the debate the other night, the only one he is participating in, and I would say he got away relatively unscathed. And as a result of the, quote, showdown on a Friday night in Lafayette, Jeff Landry, right now, with 26 days to go, is sitting pretty. A lot can happen in 26 days, and then there'll be another 5 weeks between the primary and the runoff. But how do you see it as we look at it right now, Tyler Bridges?
Yeah, clearly Jeff Landry is in a very strong position. Jim, as you know, I've been saying for a long time, including on your show, that in a year where there is an open governor's seat, going back to when Edwin Edwards was elected in 71-72, the front runner fades. The front runner this year has not faded. And again, Landry's looking very strong, both in the polling numbers and in how much money he's raised. It's definitely a lot more than the others.
Well, this race is resembling 2007 in many ways, in which Bobby Jindal did start as the favorite, and he led wire to wire in 2007. People kind of forget that race, but it was open because Kathleen Blanco chose not to run for re-election, and Bobby Jindal beat Foster Campbell and John Georges and Walter Blasso. And this time around, we don't have a lot of congressmen running, no congressmen, no senators. And some of the people who were running hardest against Landry have never won a race. I don't know that Lundy's ever won one. Wilson's never won a race. And Wagasback's never won a race. So Tyler Bridges, Jeff Landry drew a field, I think, that was quite favorable to him.
Well, it certainly looks that way right now. Of course, you know, early on, we didn't know, and you could draw scenarios under which each candidate could win. But Jeff Landry has consistently polled above the others. And I'm told privately that he's maybe around 35% in the latest poll. So he appears to be in very strong shape. And it may be that the race, there's only left as a race for second place with Sean Wilson in the stronger position. But Hunter Lundy's people, are hoping that they can somehow get past Sean Wilson to gain that second spot.
Lundy does appear to be moving, but he's got a ways to go, and he's got 26 days to get there. I don't know that it's doable, but it is possible. What path would have to happen for him to get to number two and be in a runoff with Jeff Landry?
Yeah, so Jim, as we saw Friday night, Hunter Lundy is a very different candidate because on social issues, he is very far to the right. He's absolutely against abortion. He's against legislation for LGBTQ rights. But he also is for extending the half-cent, 0.45-cent sales tax, which is scheduled to expire in 2 years. He wants to go after the polluters. He wants to raise the minimum wage. So as you know, he's a guy who has issues that people on the left could like and issues on the right. And as Daryl was saying, there are people out there who don't want to vote for somebody from either party. So Lundy's argument is that, hey, I'm a non-politician, an independent, go with me. Now, Sean Wilson's argument is that he worked for Bobby Jindal. He's worked for John Bel Edwards. He knows how government works. He's not going to be exciting, but he's going to make sure that government serves people and that he's a guy who can help get things done by working both Democrats and Republicans. But the scenario that could be a problem for Sean Wilson are black voters who represent a majority of the Democratic Party. Are they excited enough to vote? Do they even know that Sean Wilson is running because he doesn't have a lot of money to get out his message?
Listener Holly in the Garden District asked why Schroeder and Wagusbeck have not gotten more traction to this point.
Oh, that's a great question. I think each of them, when they got in the race, saw a path to victory. Schroeder saw himself as a guy who was pitching himself as a CEO for the state, as a guy who has experience in the state house, where he was known as a fiscal hawk against wasteful government spending, a treasurer who's had no scandals, and with a military and law enforcement background. And Wagusbeck certainly knew how government works as the top aide to Bobby Jindal and then serving as the leader of the state chamber of commerce. And he's kind of a Mitt Romney kind of conservative.
We'll spend some more time with Tyler Bridges after this quick timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and the number is 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with the Pulitzer Prize winner, Tyler Bridges. We're commenting on the governor's election, 26 days away from the October 14th primary. 877-217-5757. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Jim. What's going on? I know we're concentrating right now on the governor's race, but there's so much else going on. Secretary of State, Attorney General, what do you look like?
All right. In those races, Tyler Bridges has been following them all. They are, Secretary of State is open because Kyle Ardoin is running for, or is not running. He's not running for re-election and not running for anything else. And then in the Attorney General's race, it's open because Jeff Landry is running for governor. How do you view those races at this point, Tyler?
Yeah, my colleague James Finn has a good front page story today on the Attorney General's office race, showing that Liz Merle, who is Landry's top aide, before that worked for Bobby Jindal as his executive counsel, has the most money, has some key endorsements. John Stefanski is another Republican running for that office. Stefanski is a well-liked state House member from Crowley. Has a lot of support from sheriffs and DAs, although he has less money than Liz Merle. Then you got Marty Maley, who has barely got any money, who's a prosecutor in West Baton Rouge Parish. And then Lindsay Cheek is a Democratic trial lawyer from New Orleans. Most likely it will be one Republican versus Lindsey Cheek if she can get her message out as a Democratic candidate. Secretary of State race is harder to read because there's so many candidates in there. The biggest single question, I think, is whether the next Secretary of State wants to have the ballots counted by hand, which is a Donald Trump-like position. And I believe that only Brandon Trostclair is the only candidate who favors that. Mike Francis basically wants to keep things as they are. So does Kyle Ardoin's assistant, Nancy Landry. The current speaker, outgoing speaker, Clay Schexnider, is also a candidate in that race as well. And then there's two Democrats, but it's hard to see them winning.
It is interesting. You mentioned in the attorney general's race, the AFL-CIO, which usually endorses Democrats, is endorsing a Republican, Marty Maley, in that race. James in Metairie. James, good morning.
Well, hey, good morning, Jim, and to your guest. Jim, if any of you, my first question is, have any of you seen any legitimate polling data showing the state of the race according to, public polls or private polls, for that matter? And the second thing is, this nonsense about voting hand-marked, hand-counted ballots, this is a MAGA movement madness. The system is not that broken. Are there imperfections? Of course there are imperfections. But to go back, 100 years, the hand-counted ballots, the register of voters around the state, from what I understand, are totally against this crazy whack-a-mamie idea.
Tyler, what about hand ballots, and what about polling data?
Yeah, no, James is absolutely right that the registrars of voter are horrified at the idea that you could go to these hand-counted ballots. Clearly that the system is not exactly perfect, but there seems to be very, very little actual controversy with the counting of votes in Louisiana. They do need new voting machines, and there's some conspiracy theories about that, but it really seems that the system has worked well. And remember, Republicans have been controlled the Secretary of State's office for a number of years. In terms of the polling data, your caller didn't say which race, but in the Attorney General's race, it looks like Landry's about 35%, Sean Wilson's about 22%, and then the others, it's not clear if any of them are above 10%. And the race has been very stagnant for a long time, but as we discussed earlier, Hunter Lundy and any of the other Republicans are hoping to make a final sprint at the end, but it's going to be tough because Jeff Landry's got a lot of money, and Sean Wilson, typically in this kind of race, would be the Democrat who would make the runoff.
Well, thank you, Tyler Bridges. It's always good to get your take, and this won't be the last time we'll call on you before October 14th. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your good work with The Advocate as well. And as we head for the finish line, we're joined by one of the great treasures in our community, representing one of the fine entities, the Red Stick Farmers Market. And there are a couple of events coming with Darlene Adams-Roland leading the charge. And one is Saturday and one is next Thursday, September 23rd and September 28th. This is prime time for this great entity, which started in the late 90s, was it 96? 1996.
So we're remember,
27 years of success. And for those who have treasured this, this is an opportunity to show support. And you've got them back to back. That's kind of an unusual strategy. But what's happening this Saturday?
So we do have two events, and we do that because next Thursday is our ticketed event, but we want to also have a celebration that everyone can attend in our community. So we kick it off this Saturday at the Red Stick Farmers Market downtown from 8 to 12. And this is where our silent auction opens at 8 a.m. We'll have all the items displayed so you can see them at the market. We're going to have live music from John Gray, Michael Foster, and their jazz trio. We're going to have a wine pool. And we'll actually have Bloody Marys and mimosas for sale from Kocha as well. So it'll be a very festive morning to get you in the mood.
Sounds like it. Now, this has been a happening now for 27 years downtown, and you have hundreds, if not thousands, of people over time who have been going on a regular basis. But there are probably people who are listening to this who've never been. What do you say to them?
Well, I say please come join us on Saturdays. We're there every Saturday, year-round. It's pretty unique for a farmer's market across the country to always be open. We're heading into the fall season here. It's been a bit of a tough run for our farmers with this drought this year, but we are starting to see the fruits of fall coming in. It's a great free community event that anyone can attend. Meet your neighbors, buy some produce, find something new. It's just a really great time, and it supports our local economy and our local farmers.
And it happens just about every Saturday, right?
Oh, it's every Saturday, and the, what most
what
people
happens
don't know,
when you have a torrential rainstorm?
Well, we're lucky that we go inside the garage there, the Galvez garage. We set up inside so you can pull in and never get wet. You can park for free in the garage and shop, and then
look. Yeah. And right now, we would welcome a torrential rainstorm,
true.
But
that is true.
But the ticket event, which I'm sure you want a few hundred of your closest friends to appear at, is at the River Center Library Terrace, certainly a nice venue, and it's next Thursday.
Correct, and you can go to farmfet.org and purchase tickets. They are $100 a ticket, but that does include some great festive cocktails by the Breaks Bar and Ivar's and Overpass Merchant and City Pork, so we'll have wine and beer and some fun farm fresh cocktails, and then it includes food from 10 different local restaurants that'll be using ingredients from our farmers. So, you know, Chef Celeste, Eliza, Cocha, Mestizo's, Homus House, Spin 77, lots of great local restaurants.
John Gray performing.
He's going to perform again.
One of the best.
So fun. And so really all this goes to do, though, is to support our nonprofit, which is Bretta. Like you said, it's been around for 27 years and providing some, not only support to small farmers, but our community accessing fresh food and just bringing everybody together every week in a place where they can enjoy our community and the best that our state has to offer.
And you've been with Bretta now for how many years?
15 or we might be going on 16 now.
16 of the 27.
That's
yeah.
Right.
You started when you were a baby.
Well, I don't know about baby, but I've enjoyed it. It's great work. And I, you know, most people, when they have out-of-town guests, it's one of the first places they bring people to really show off our city and what we have to offer. So we want to welcome everyone to come to the market first. Number two, I'd love for you to go to farmfet.org and buy a ticket. Or number three, if you can't make it, you can text the word farmer to the number 79230, and you can just sign up for the auction and find all kinds of wonderful things from our farmers, from local community members. There's some real gems in there that you can bid on. So there's a lot of ways you can support. Even if you can't make the event, you can just participate in the auction, and all these funds go to support the work of Bretta, our nonprofit.
And it's farmfet.org, and you can go to bretta.org.
That's correct.
B-R-E-A-D-A.
Can you remember what it stands for, Jim? I'm going to put you on the spot.
It stands for Big River, right?
You got it.
Okay. Not Baton Rouge, but Big River.
That's right.
Economic?
Yes.
Alliance?
Alliance is a word, but it's not. It's the last day.
Okay.
Economic the, and what do we
and
do?
And development?
Yep. You got one of the words. You're missing one word. Big River, Economic, blank, Development Alliance.
Economic.
Farming.
Agriculture.
You got it. Big River Economic and Agricultural Development Alliance.
Okay.
Cannot stump the great Jim Engster.
Well, I had some challenges, though, so I should have been more prepared. I've spent too much time studying elections today. But for those who've never been, what do they see when they come downtown? It's a wow moment, isn't it?
Well, it is, because you get to walk down the street. You're greeted with some beautiful plants and flowers from local nurseries. But then it's kind of like taking a tour of the state. So you'll see sweet potatoes from Opelousas, depending on what season we're in, you go down and have, you know, citrus from Plaquemines Parish. You really get to see a little bit of all of our great state and the agriculture that we produce. So that all comes together every Saturday in the shadow of our Capitol. We have farmers from 17 different parishes that come every week. So it's really a great cross-section of our state and our community.
All right. Farmfet.org for tickets and Bretta.org if you want to find out more about this great entity. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow. Stay safe and stay tuned.